Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Welcome to Vox Novus, the new voice. I've interviewed many unusual characters over the years, but this week, my guest has four legs. My guest this week on Vox Novus is Spirit the Cat. Spirit, along with his mombly, Cack Young, joins me to share his journey from lost kitten on the mean streets of South Central LA to adult cat and bliss in his forever home with Cack. You can find out more about Spirit and Cack on Mombly's website, cackyoung.com. They join me this week to discuss Spirit's new book, My First Autobiography, From Street Life to Sweet Life. All proceeds from the sale of the book go to support Spirit's rescue home, the Kitty Bungalow Charm School for Wayward Cats. Please join me in welcoming to Vox Novus Cack Young and Spirit the Cat. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Oh, Spirit, it's so nice to hear your voice. Thank you for joining us today and sharing your wonderful story. And I understand that this is your just past your first birthday, and a belated happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. How does it feel to be so grown up now?
It's really hard because some days I am still a kitty, but I want to be a grown up, and so I don't know what to do some days.
I can understand that, because as you emerge into your adulthood, there are so many wonderful things in kittydom and childhood that you enjoy. And I remember that feeling the same way when I was growing up. So let's start with Mombly. You call Cack Mombly. Let's start with Mombly first. Cack, we need to start with a mini bio from you for listeners meeting you for the first time. Please share your path and how you became such a prolific author.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you. I was in show business as a person going up the ladder for 30-some years. And I started as a production assistant with Dick Clark Productions. And I worked my way up to become eventually head of television development for Universal Studios.
And what were some of the programs? What were some of the shows that you worked on?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I worked on Circus of the Stars, which was fun. I did a lot of actual cooking shows I produced for Procter & Gamble in the 80s when we took everything to cable for the first time. I did the People's Choice Awards. I produced General Hospital for a few years. I had four little series, little homemaker type series on the air for the major sponsors for about 6 years in the 80s. And then I co-founded and co-produced the Showtime Comedy Club Network for Showtime. We did five specials, all-star specials with comics. And I was a stage manager on the Cher show. And let's see. There's so many other shows. I directed the Bill Maher show for a little time. I directed As the World Turns for a couple of episodes in New York. I just got to bounce back and forth. Oh, and I did direct the very first concert that MTV had in-house.
Wow.
In the early 80s. Yeah, their very first concert. That was fun. And I did a lot of shows out of Las Vegas. I produced a show with Raquel Welch, and just always a lot of stars and a lot of things. I did some work in Australia and New Zealand as a producer director. So I just kind of went all over the world.
Spirit, how does it feel to have a Mombly who was in showbiz?
Very intimidating, because I'm just a kitty.
I can understand that. And Cack, for our listeners, again, meeting you the first time, tell us about how you got involved in writing books, especially books on spirit.
Well, you know, I was just the typist for Spirit's book. It's his autobiography. Right. So I just simply, he watched me write other books, and then he decided that he had a lot to say as a young kitten. And certainly he wanted to protest some of the things that I was asking him to do. And so he needed a voice.
Absolutely. But when I say Spirit, I mean the books that were spiritual in nature.
Ah, the spiritual books. Yes. Well, when I was working in show business, a major event happened one morning at CBS. The head stage manager dropped dead in front of me. And it was shocking because he was he was an ex-dancer, and he was very energetic, and he just, boom, heart attack, gone. He was only 55. So I decided that I needed to learn how to take care of myself if I was going to stay in this industry where the hours are long and the pressure is high. So I began to study other things, and we have a thing called a hiatus in show business where you work really, really hard in production for quite a few hours, and then weeks, and then you take about 6 to 8 weeks off, and then you come back and start the madness again. And it's all very wonderful working in show business. It's very creative and exciting, but it's also exhausting. So I began exploring other things, and I studied crystals, and I studied essential oils, and I studied health. My first doctorate that I got was in hypnotherapy, because I wanted to be able to help myself and other people break habits that can affect your health. So I decided that I had to take the reins in that area. And I was really able to incorporate wellness and Qigong and Tai Chi and yoga and all of these things I was learning. So when I got to a point when I left show business at the breakneck speed, I'm still in it as a consultant, and I'm currently writing a screenplay, that I wanted to pass on what I had learned, because I was very fortunate to work with some of the great masters of the world in all of these areas. And I didn't want to leave this unsaid or undone. And I wanted to pass along their wisdom and mine and leave it for the world, as a legacy. So that's how I started writing. I said, people can learn from this.
Absolutely. Now, this collaboration with Spirit is not your first foray into cat wisdom. Tell us about your other works in this category.
Very well done. Well, in this category, I wrote another book called The 1 Minute Cat Manager. And that was because Lucy, my cat, was a very special kitty. And when I took some of my jobs on the road, all that is Spirit making a copy, what you hear in the background. He's getting his press releases out. So Lucy was just an amazing cat. And so I found myself gone a lot, and she became depressed, and she became very distant. And so I was learning Ken Blanchard's techniques of the 1 minute manager for work. And I decided to apply that to my cat. I had two at the time. And I decided to just give them 1 minute of full attention, nonstop. The minute I walked in the door, nothing else mattered. It didn't matter if the phone was ringing. They had that time. And then I began saying, okay, well, they're 1 minute here, 1 minute there of just full attention. And it's amazing because you can pet them and be reading the newspaper, but that's not the same as you concentrating fully onto them the whole time. So I learned that that was a little magical thing. And I did it morning and night, and it worked. They were satisfied emotionally. And I also used Bach flowers with my cats at the time, because I found that that's a gentle vibrational way to give them a little boost in the areas that they are feeling. Cats really run on an emotional layer. That's what propels them. And if we get in behind their eyes and can understand what's happening inside of them, we have a real good chance of deepening our relationship with them and helping them cope with life and stresses, especially if they've been feral or if they've been abused or when they come into your house, you may or may not know their background. So sometimes they need a little help emotionally. And I always turn to the Bach flowers because it's a gentle, non-medical, non-medicine way to help them adapt and adjust.
Now, we hear Spirit in the background printing out his press releases and speaking to us in squeak speak, because he doesn't meow. He speaks in squeaks, right?
That is correct. He does not meow. He squeaks, and he's just kind of adding the punctuation to what I'm saying. He's an extremely participatory cat. There he is now.
Absolutely. I wonder if the one-minute manager technique had to be extended a little for Spirit.
Yes, it did. There's a lot of things that had to be extended. You know, you just keep stretching that rubber band for him. He's a unique character, and he's extremely feral. He started out on the streets of South Central Los Angeles, and he was he had to fend for himself for quite a few months until Kitty Bungalow, Charm School for Wayward Cats, found him, trapped him, and attempted to domesticate him. Absolutely. And then put him up for adoption.
Now, Spirit's book is entitled My First Autobiography, From Street Life to Sweet Life. And as you mentioned, he had a rough start growing up in the streets of South Central LA, which he refers to as the hood. Spirit, I know this was a long time ago in cat time, but please share some of your memories of being on the street.
Oh, okay. Well, the first thing that happened was that my sister was taken from me. My brother and I, Albert, my mother didn't show up for a while, and we didn't know what had happened to her, and she was just gone. And so we were really scared, and we had to hide. Mostly we had to find places to hide because there's big trucks and lots of noise and people everywhere. And some people tried to catch us. And so we'd have to run, and mostly we had to hide. And the three of us together, helped. We didn't part very much at all. We just stayed really close because we were also cold at night. So, Mom was gone, and we got very hungry, and so we would smell things in the air and go that way and find a restaurant or even trash cans. And I mean, we tried everything. We were ready to eat everything. I even drank a Coca-Cola once, and it was hard. And then Gracie wandered into a yard, and this little girl said, "Oh, mommy, I love her. Can I keep her?" And the mom said, no, you can't have a kitty. And so we said, "Gracie, come back." And then the little girl snuck her inside. And all we ever saw was Gracie through the window after that. But then it wasn't safe to be at that house, so we had to go find places to hide. And Albert and I were very scared.
But there was this one place, this one restaurant, where a nice old man helped you out.
Yeah, he was so nice. Oh, he was so nice to us. He was so good. He would give us chicken, and he would give us scraps of things. And oh, Albert and I were so happy. We were so happy because our tummies were full, and he was so nice to us. And then we kind of got used to that. And then one night he didn't show up, and we were hungry again. So then we thought, okay, next time we'll just take some extra food if we can with us. But we were trying to share because there's a lot of other cats and kittens out on the streets too. It wasn't just us.
Absolutely. And eventually that very nice old man, recognizing that you and Albert needed some special care, arranged for you to be taken to the Kitty Bungalow Charm School for Wayward Cats. Tell us about your first home.
Well, yeah, It was scary at first because we had to be trapped. And I've now learned that trapping is good, but it was scary because we thought there was just food in that cage. And we went in there and then this back end kind of closed on us. And then we cried and cried. And then it was a couple of hours, I think, until they got us and put us in a truck and took us, and we went to a place, and it was dark, and that's when they let us out, and then they put us in another little side room, but we could hear other cats, but we were in a room together by ourselves, and we were both really scared. Really, really scared because we didn't know where we were and we thought they were going to kill us.
Oh, I can understand that. But tell us about the voice.
There was a lady who came by and she was trying to tell us it was going to be all right. And we didn't believe it. Because we'd heard stories on the street that sometimes they come get you and do awful things to you. And so we thought we were doomed. And so then she brought us some food and some warm blankets. And then that's the voice we heard for like the next 3 or 4 days. And so we said, okay, well, if the voice comes, then I guess we're okay. And every day we were just surprised that we were still alive. You know, I'd look at Albert and I'd say, we made it through another day. And he would say, yeah. So that's what we did.
And one day you and Albert went to the vet, but you didn't know what the vet was. What was the vet about?
Oh, I'm still mad about that. The voice came and got us and took us into another room, and there was a lady in a white coat and another person, and they just handled us all over and poked us and they did a whole lot of stuff to us, and then they gave us shots, and that hurt. That really hurt when I got these shots, and Albert got them too, and then we just looked at each other and said, see, it's awful. We knew the worst was coming. And we thought, this is how they kill us. This is how it happens. They shoot us through full of stuff. And then we went back to our room and we just cuddled up real tight because we thought the end was coming.
But you found out that it was actually for your own good.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I still don't like those shots, and I don't like that lady in the white coat, though, at all.
And tell us about your first experience with having a nice place to poo.
Ooh, well, you know, Mom, when we had our mom, she would just kind of help us take care of that. And we just go anywhere we wanted. You know, she taught us how to cover up the poop part. But, and sometimes we couldn't because it was outside or it was on a sidewalk or, you know, it wasn't as nice as I now know it can be. And there was just these little kind of boxes, and they had like little sand in them, and so we got to go in there, and that was nice because it was the first time we got to poop in a place that, you know, we could cover it up and it wasn't smelly, and it was real nice. That was better than before.
So you had the voice and you had the nice food and a nice place to poo. But then your brother Albert was adopted. What a catastrophe. How did you feel when this happened?
I was so sad. I loved Albert so much. I loved him. He was my best friend. And I don't know why they couldn't keep us together. I don't know
why I still think about him and I love him so much. And they took him away and I didn't have a chance to say goodbye and we couldn't make plans and I didn't have Albert with me anymore. And that's when I really, really got scared bad. I was scared so bad.
And I totally understand and have total compassion for you. If you could talk to Albert right now, if Albert was listening to this program, what would you say to Albert?
Oh, I'd say, hi, Albert. I love you. I miss you so much. Please come back. Please come back, Albert. I want to see you. We had so much fun. Albert, I love you.
Oh, that is so sweet. My guest this week are Spirit the Cat and his Mombly Cack Young. Cack, please tell our listeners where they can get Spirit's book and find out more about him and about you.
Well, thank you. He's just, well, I'm just petting him now. He's still recovering. That was an emotional moment for him. You can find his book. It's called My First Autobiography by Spirit the Cat, and it's on Amazon. You can find it on Amazon, and it's, you know, remarkably inexpensive. 100% of the proceeds go to Kitty Bungalow so that they can rescue more cats just like Spirit and give them lives that are healthy and happy and forever.
That is so wonderful and so generous. And what about websites?
Well, yes, you can find it on my website. He has a page on my website. And go to Cack Young, that's CACYoung.com, and you can find all the books there. Just look on the little, on the slider there, look for the his book, click on that, and you'll find more about it. And there'll be a link to Amazon as well. Or you can just find it yourself under My First Autobiography by Spirit the Cat.
And we'll be back with more of Cack and Spirit the Cat after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment, a philanthropic organization. Their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Back on Vox Novus, my guests this week are Cack Young and Spirit the Cat. Spirit, you also aspired to have what you call a forever home. How did this unfold?
It was really a surprise. I was still getting over the fact that Albert was gone, and I was trying to make some friends there, and there was a couple of really nice cats. Jennifer was nice to me. And then we went to these things. I don't know what they call. I guess they're adoption fairs or something. And they put us all in these cages. And so I was in a cage and I watched other cats go out into another room and then come back. It was very confusing. But people were talking about how great the cats were, and then some cats wouldn't come back with us at night to Kitty Bungalow. Some were just adopted, and I guess they got homes. And so I thought, well, maybe one day somebody will look at me and say, I want to take him home. And so I thought that would be good. And then I went back, and let's see, we had a couple more days, and then the voice came and said, Spirit, you have a new home. And I said, what? Because we weren't at one of those vent things, and I wasn't there in a cage, and I said, what? And then they said, yeah, they're going to get you tomorrow. So I had to go see that white coat lady again, and I got poked and things. And then I didn't sleep all night long because I didn't know what that meant. And then in the morning, this person came, and there was this other purple carrier that was there, and I got put in that by the voice. And then I was in a back of a car. I think it was a car. It had wheels. And then we went, drove. And then I got put into the bathroom where I was going to stay for 2 weeks. And that was going to be my home. And I had one of those sandboxes in there. And I got food brought to me and stuff. And then I just thought, no, I don't like this. This isn't, I don't know these people. I don't know what to do. I want to go back to Kitty Bungalow. I want to see Jennifer. I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like this. There's no cats. I want to go home. I want to go home. And so I cried. And that's how I started here.
And what were your first impressions of Mombly, Dadly, and the other four-leggeds that you were introduced to?
Oh, it was awful. I didn't like Mombly at first because she would come in and talk to me, and I didn't know who she was, and I didn't know. I didn't like it. And then Mombly kept coming back, and Mombly... she had to put things back because I at night I was busy, and I just put things that were up down, and so I needed to explore things, and sometimes things would be I dumped over, and so Mombly would come in and fix that, and then she would tell me nice things, and she would try to pet me, and I would run away. And so it wasn't really nice for about the first week. I was just too scared, and I wanted to be back where I knew the people and the cats better. And then I heard barking. I didn't know what it was then. I mean, I'd heard it when I was on the street. I heard the sort of woof woof stuff, but I didn't know what it was, because at Kitty Bungalow they didn't have anything, so it went woof woof.
And tell us about meeting the other cats and dogs.
Well, there is an old cat, and his name is Socrates, and he's really furry, and he takes his time getting up and down the stairs, and I wanted to play. I thought, oh good, here's a kitty I can play. And he didn't want to play. He didn't like that. And so he didn't hiss, but he just looked at me like I should go away. So he didn't want to be my friend like Jennifer did. And so I would try and get him to play. I would jump on him, and I would you know, kind of bite his ears, and I would do stuff like that. And he would just look at me, and then Mombly would come by and tell me not to do that and things like that. So, you know, it wasn't the best. And now, you know, he doesn't think I'm cute. Other people in this house think I'm cute and tell me I'm cute and love on me. And Socrates doesn't. He just kind of looks at me like he wishes I wouldn't be there.
But Socrates is quite philosophical, isn't he?
Yes. And he's very quiet and he spends a lot of time thinking.
And you also had, Socrates was like a new brother, you also had a new sister.
Well, Merlin Rose. Merlin Rose has gone over the Rainbow Bridge now. And because she, boy, you know, I on the streets, I met some mean cats, but Merlin Rose was, she didn't like me from that day one, and she let me know it. She hissed at me, and one time she jumped on me, and Mombly had to come in and pry her off. And Merlin Rose wasn't with us very long after that.
And when you heard about the Rainbow Bridge, how did it make you feel?
Well, good, because Merlin Rose was going there, and I thought that would be a nice place for her. And, you know, the Rainbow Bridge, Mombly says it's really nice there. She says it's really, really nice and pretty and happy. She says it's a happy place, like Kitty Bungalow was.
That's wonderful. So you were happy that she was there.
Yeah. I was happy she was there. And I was also happy she wasn't here anymore.
And tell us about the doggy members of your family.
Oh, well, Tipsy doesn't like me. Tipsy chases me. But then Mombly says that I bring that on, that I, you know, I do things on the staircase and I flip my tail and I kind of twist around and I kind of, you know, she says I taunt him, and I don't know. I'm just kind of playing. I'm playing with him. And then Tipsy will chase me, and then Mombly will yell, and then we have to stop. But Tallulah is fun. Tallulah's nice. Tallulah's real pretty, and she's got a big fluffy tail. And we can, you know, we can sit together, and nothing happens. We just kind of can be in the same room, and that's it, you know. I tried to play with Tipsy's toys once, and that made Tipsy really mad.
I can understand that. Now, Mombly shares that you love to kiss. You're a kisser. Did you ever try to kiss the dogs?
Yeah, once. Once I did. Tipsy was sleeping. He was sleeping in his big pad. And I went over there and I thought, what happens if I kiss him? And then Tipsy woke up and almost bit me.
I can understand that. Mombly also shared that you were quite a night owl. Do you think that had anything to do with the fact that you drank some Coca-Cola, maybe some coffee at some point, or something else?
Well, probably because when I have treats, I get crazy. Mama says I go wacky. And so if I have treats, and I guess if any kind of those treat things, I like to run around. I like to run like if I could run all the way around a room, like in a circle. I think that's really fun. And I only get halfway now, but I'm going to try to do more. And then I can go upstairs and downstairs real fast, and nobody sees me. Nobody can see me. I am like a streak, Mombly says.
And she also says you are quite an acro cat. How did you develop your acrocatic skills?
Well, you know, when we had to find places to sleep on the street, I had to get into some really tight places, and so did Albert. And so we had to squeeze in places and then reach up places, and we had to do a lot of stretching and things to get in and out of where we had to be. Sometimes there were big pipes and things, and but we needed to be safe from other cats that could hurt us or other people that might. So that's, I think, where we learned that. And then here at my forever home, I perfected it because I climb everywhere and I jump everywhere and I go up real high. And, you know, that's why if Socrates would play with me, we could both jump off things together.
Absolutely. I understand that you have a first class boudoir. Tell us about that.
Oh, you know, Merlin had it too, and so did Socrates. And there's an entire room that just says on it boudoir. And in it, we have our kitty boxes, and we have a water fountain. I've never seen water kind of do that before, but it dances in the air. And then we have our little food places where they're little silos of food. We have two kinds of dry food. And then so we can go in there, and there's a bed in there if we want to, but it's an entire boudoir room just for us, and I love it in there. Sometimes I go there and just hide because nobody can find me.
That sounds like you're living the high life.
Well, I don't know what that means really, but I'm pretty happy now. I used to not be, but I'm pretty happy now. I like it here. There's squirrels outside. There's birds everywhere. I look, there's birds. And Mombly puts seed out for him so I can see it. And then sometimes there's like a mouse outside, and I get to watch them. And one mouse and I got to be friends. And then I learned that Mombly relocated him, and he now lives someplace else. But maybe he'll come back. I liked him. He had fur around his face.
What were some of the lessons you learned in your first weeks with Mombly?
I learned that Mombly's really strict about things. Like, she doesn't want me to dump my food over, and I thought that used to be fun, and I like to dump that over and then kind of eat all the way around the plate on the outside. And Mombly doesn't like me to splash water, and Mombly clips my nails because she doesn't want me tearing at things. And I like to tear at things. There were some things I could, towels I could swing on and things that I really liked like that. But, and so I can't, there's a bunch of stuff I can't do anymore. And, but I keep, you know, I keep experimenting because you never know when Mombly's gonna be gone for a long time, and I can maybe do some of those things. And you know, not much happens. I mean, I did get grounded a couple times because, you know, I had to stay in one room for a couple days because I kind of made a mess someplace by tipping some things over. But most of the time, you know, I just have to kind of watch it because Mombly is everywhere too, and she can see. She knows what I'm doing most of the time. So that's why I have the secret napping places, so I can go there and Mombly can't find me.
And when Mombly catches you doing something, how do you cover your tail?
First thing I do is say it wasn't me. Wasn't me. I didn't do that. And then generally I say, Tipsy did it. Tipsy. It's Tipsy's fault. Tipsy did it. And then Mombly says, Tipsy can't come up on this floor. This is, so what I learned is that I can only blame it on Tipsy if it's downstairs.
That sounds like it's very, very sensible. And you learned quickly. My guests this week are Kak Young and Spirit the Cat. The book, My First Autobiography from Street Life to Sweet Life. We'll be back with more after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can. But it's just as important to take time for yourself. AARP can help. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Back on Vox Novus, my guest this week, Spirit the Cat and his mombly Kak Young. His book, My First Autobiography, From Street Life to Sweet Life. Kak, you had been a four-legged mombly, both feline and canine, for many years before Spirit joined the family. How is welcoming Spirit into your home different, and was it more of a challenge?
Oh, my. Yes. You know, they say that a picture paints a thousand words. I think that's the quote. And that picture of him on Kitty Bungalow was a blip in the sand. There was so much more to say about him. And we got to learn about that day one. He's a great cat. He's wonderful. He's sweet. He's been in a little bit in foster care for a couple days now, and he's great. And then we get him home and he turns into a berserk wild man. And it was quite a challenge. Now, the beautiful thing in his favor and our household's favor is the fact that I understand about pheromone collars and I understand about the Bach flower remedies. So I was able to immediately put vibrational medicine into this mix, which helped him calm down a little bit. And certainly, we just needed to reduce his terror, make him feel comfortable, not expect too much of him, and then remember where he came from. So our drill was to really get inside his head and figure out how we could best just allow him to discover the territory here and the other people one step at a time. So we took it really slow, and it was about wanting to heal this little individual. How can we help him from his very rough start? How can we help him have a good life? And that kept motivating us. And that was the mantra over and over and over, because there were times, I really think that most people who had not had cats before and had not understood them may have returned him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, prior to reading your book, or I'm sorry, prior to reading Spirit's book, I was not familiar with the term pheromone collar. Please explain that for our listeners.
Well, the pheromone collars are really wonderful. They have them in their little spray canisters as well. You can spray them around an area, especially for cats when they're moving or they're going to the vet. There's even little pheromone wipes you can get to wipe the inside of the carrier to make them feel better. And what pheromones are really are just the things that make us happy too. It's, you know, the oxytocins and the things in the brain that make us feel good and comfortable. It smells, if you remember the smell of baking bread as a kid, or maybe the smell of the apple orchard, whatever it is from your childhood that makes you feel good, that's a pheromone. So they are specifically designed for cats, and they also have some for dogs as well. And you can put these little collars on them, and it really helps them calm down and adjust and feel really good, really, really at home in the environment.
Spirit, you certainly loved rolls of paper towels. How did this manifest? And what deal did you eventually negotiate with Mombly?
Yeah, that's such a sore point. Yeah, I like them, and Mombly has them in pretty much every room because there's a lot of messes that are made in this house by some of us people with four legs. So Mombly has them, and I found that you can just get on them and whee! You can run your hands there and just the paper everywhere, and then chew on them and rip them off. It's so much fun. The day I discovered that, I thought, oh, I'm so happy. And then Mombly saw that and she said, you know, we shouldn't do that. That's not really a good thing. So I did it in three rooms on the same day. And so then we had a talk, and so I can do one a week now. I can't do three in a day, but I can do one a week. And I think Mombly uses the same one over and over, though. I don't get a new one anymore. I have to use the same one. But it's okay because she rolls it back up and then I can rip it. And that's what I do. I get a paper towel roll per week.
So you have your one and Mom keeps the bounty.
Yeah.
Okay. And I also understand that you were the mouse toy king. How many do you have and how do you manage them?
I have 52. And what I do is I have them in secret places. And when I want them, I go find them. And then I, like this morning, I took one down. I took the turquoise one down in the kitchen and Tipsy saw it. And Mombly had to take it out of Tipsy's mouth. And then it got washed because she didn't want me to have to, you know, so it's in the cupboard with the other ones that got washed. And so then I said, okay, well, if they're going to get washed, I'll just baptize them because they have to be saved. I heard on TV, Mombly puts TV on when she goes. And so I listened to some preacher and he said that people had to be saved and baptized, and if they weren't, they'd go to hell. And I didn't want my mice to go to hell, so I baptized them in the water fountain downstairs. And then that's when Tipsy took some out and Tipsy crunched them. And you know, it there, those ones are in the cupboard and I can't get to them unless I'm real quick.
Well, obviously you learned the catechism, so that's very, very good. Now Spirit, tell us about the online education that Mombly suggested for you.
Well, I wanted, you know, I like Simon Cowell. And so I was singing because I thought I should be on American Idol. I can sing. And so I was singing and Mommy said, why don't you take a singing lesson, teacher, on the online computer since you like the computer. And so downstairs, I got a singing teacher and I was singing and Mommy recorded it. And then we sent it to American Idol, but I didn't hear back yet.
All right. So Simon Cowell has a lot on his mind. Maybe he'll get back to you soon. We hope anyway. And you also told Mombly that you wanted to learn French. Why?
Well, I saw, you know, going back to TV shows, I saw a French kitty. And she was really pretty. And then I saw French things. And I had a croissant once on the streets. I had part of a croissant. And my Mombly said they come from France. And so I said, why don't I learn French, Mombly? Then I can talk to the kitties in France and maybe I can go. Because Mombly has a book in her bookshelf that says The Cat Who Went to Paris. And I said, I should go. I should go. Can we go? Can we go? And she said, sure, I could learn French. And so I signed up and I am learning cat French.
That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. And Kat, getting back to you, you offer a lot of wonderful advice for those of us who are shepherding our four-legged friends. One of them is about 4th of July celebrations. How may we keep them safe and reduce their fear from fireworks?
Well, that's a huge problem everywhere. And I think that unfortunately, pets are secondary to people's pleasure. I know we've experienced that just in our own tiny little cul-de-sac here, that people across the street thought it would be just fine to add to the noise and send off fireworks, 20 feet from the front room here. And it scared all of the pets here so badly. And I just think that we have to protect the pets from that by putting them in a separate room, by turning some music on, by giving them a stress reducer in the form of Rescue Remedy or a pheromone collar or pheromone spray, and keep them away from the fireworks. And it's, you know, I personally think people can just go to where the fireworks are and not have to set them off in their own backyard. And if that was true, then it would save a lot of pets a lot of anxiety. And the shelters are full on July the 5th because pets get out, pets get scared, people are having parties, a pet darts out the door, some get hit by cars. It is just not conducive unless we are so aware that they are terrified. And to them, it sounds like war. It sounds like gunshots. And to Spirit, who came from a very active neighborhood, there were a lot of gunshots. And he is very very sensitive to those kinds of noises. I mean, the neighbor here can start off with his nail gun and that terrifies Spirit as well. So we are very careful about that. And I think keeping pets safe, keeping them locked away, keeping them medicated as best we can and as gently as we can, and stay with them. I generally try to stay with the pets during the loud noises and just reassure them that this will pass and it's fine and we're safe. Many pet lovers do that. They stay with their pets. Some just leave them be, but at least they are maybe cognizant of the fact that they have locked them away and kept them physically safe. So yeah, it's very important. Anytime there are big festivities or even parades, pets get terrified.
And this book is filled with wit and wisdom. So, Spirit, this was your first autobiography. Is there more to come?
Yeah, I'm working on it now. I'm starting. there's just so many stories, all kinds of things happen all the time. And so we just write it up, you know. I'll think of, I just do stuff, and then Mommy does stuff, and then we talk about it, and then, you know, so then it gets, I tell Mommy what I'd like the story to be, and then Mommy types it for me.
That is so wonderful. My guest, Spirit the Cat, his Mommy Cack Young. Cack, please tell our listeners one more time where they can get the book and find out more about Spirit and you.
Okay, you can go to cackyoung.com, that's cackyoung.com, and you'll find that Spirit's book has a page there. You can go to amazon.com and just Google the book, My First Autobiography by Spirit the Cat, and you'll find that there. And it all the proceeds of the Kindle version and the print version go to support Kitty Bungalow Charm School for Wayward Cats, that helps other cats get off the street, get into homes, and have better, happy, healthier lives. And also the adopter gets the rewards of having a loving and grateful purr factory in their own home.
That is absolutely perfect. Thank you so much for joining us today, Spirit and Cack, and sharing your story.
Thank you. I love you.
Oh, I love you too. And thank you for joining us on Vox Novus. I'm Victor, the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.